Now, God, you know what we need to hear.
Oh, dear God.
Lord, you know what you prepared his heart with today. Now, God, whatever you want in the furtherance of this service, Lord, we leave it in your hands. Touch your servant, God. Use him. Get honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody happen to be here for your first time? You had never heard Brother Tony preach? Back down at 1, 2. Well, praise God. You get to have some dessert tonight.
Thank you, preacher. Please take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. I want to say thank you to the camp meeting choir. You helped us tonight in a special way. And then thank you so much, Brother Price, for the good songs tonight. Turned our hearts, our attentions toward the Lord Jesus Christ. The exhortations tonight have been right on target. I'm convinced that we say far too little about how great our God is. And I appreciate those tonight who have clearly made evidence of the fact that they know they're born again. I'm of the persuasion that the Lord's heart is really touched by the little ones. Thank you. Thank you. That's a good way to get started, darling. It's a good way to get started. Always make much of Jesus. Never be ashamed of him. I don't know when I came to a pulpit last with a more sober and serious message than tonight. In fact, when I was able to get back last night over to the Good Prophet's Chamber where I'm blessed to be staying this week, the Lord began then dealing with my heart about what he wanted for tonight. I woke up several times through the night with it on my mind. And then this morning, early this morning, the Lord sealed in my heart the text that I'm about to read for you in a moment. And I want to ask you tonight to really be praying, because the Lord has brought me this way tonight to preach in the face of a real devil. I'm sure he's infuriated. I'm convinced he has more territory now than he did in the last generation in America. I believe there's more ground been given over to him. I think he moves with greater intensity now. He's wreaking more havoc. He's proving to us in these latter days that he's very real. And so tonight, I'm sure he's not thrilled with the fact that I have every intention of revealing some things about him tonight. God being my helper. So I'm going to begin reading in chapter number 1, verse number 21. Follow along with me, please, in your Bibles. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. My Heavenly Father, I beg for the enduing of power tonight. Lord, if I have any intelligence at all tonight, make it very much real to my heart and to my mind that I dare not stand behind this sacred desk alone tonight. I beg for the words. I beg for the quickening of the mind. I beg for strength and courage. Help me to say every word that you would have said. I beg, dear God, tonight that you'd touch the heart of that poor sinner, that one that's been playing games with God, Lord, whose father is the devil. I beg you, Lord, tonight that you would speak with great clarity to that heart as you did in the synagogue on that day. Lord, that you'd address the problem of devils within that individual. Lord, that you'd help them tonight to know the free pardon of sin. I'm glad that even the devils have to move at thy bidding. So tonight, great, great, great is the devil, I'm sure, and gaining more ground, but greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Now show us your mighty hand tonight and help your people, and we'll bow and give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Gospel of Mark seems to start off with a good fashion and a good gait. We're encouraged as we see the book open up. He begins to tell us about the ministry of John the Baptist. And then quickly we move to the scene of the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Then we see the great temptation of Christ. It's handled with great brevity by Mark, as though he seems to be ushering on to something of far greater importance to him. We see here that the disciples are then made mention of as the Lord Jesus Christ begins to call his disciples. Peter is called here, and he begins to let them know that I'll make you fishers of men. Seems to be a real good start for the work of God and for the great movement of the church age that is going to be ushered in shortly. And then all of a sudden, as we should have known, the devil seems to be right in the midst of it all. Now I want to make mention to you tonight with great clarity that any effort that's ever given on anyone's part to move in the direction of God and right, there's going to be a real opposing devil. The devil has fought this camp meeting effort, I'm sure, for many years. There's not one church that's represented here that the devil has not intensely fought to try to destroy what you do. There is not one family that's represented here that has ever made even a half step in advance toward God that the devil hasn't aggressively tried to hurt your family. There is not one individual in this building that has ever in a personal moment decided that you want to try to move toward God. But what the devil did not dispatch architects in hell to design a plan to destroy you. He has always been in the mix ever since he slipped into the garden and there deceived Eve and there caused Adam to fall on the heels of that as well. And I'm telling you tonight, the devil is very real. Our nation's in a mess. Our churches are in a mess. Christianity seems to have all kinds of faces in this age. Unusual things that are unexplained. Sins that we all understood because it was so black and white in the Word of God. Now even the religious leaders cause them to be ambiguous, as though we can't figure out what's right and wrong. The devil is having an absolute heyday with us in this country. And tonight he's very alive. He's still aggressively moving. I think my task tonight, I believe that the reason for God moving so in my heart is to give great warning to some in the building. Because it seems to be apparent that many people, even in the household of faith, are lulled asleep enough to where they believe that the devil is not really actively involved in their world. I'm amazed at how many of our people that I end up sitting with in private conversation who have to admit to me, I don't think I realized how terrible the devil was until it all fell apart. Well, he was really terrible a long time before it fell apart. I promise you tonight that there's a real devil who desires to destroy, to hurt and maim everything in your world that's good and decent. Now, I want you to notice with me, as I believe our text reveals some things to us about who the devil is. We have such little preaching now on the devil himself, to where our children grow up just thinking that maybe he's some kind of entity that just doesn't really have a lot of personality or a lot of real person about him, or maybe it's just something that grandma conjured up. But the Bible gives us such clarity about him that we ought to examine it. We ought to recognize the truths that we're taught here in the Scriptures. The Bible said that Jesus himself now comes into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. Now I'd make a strong suggestion to every one of us in the building. Be careful and don't buy into the lies of the devil in our day that it's not important for you to be in the house of God. Now we're getting ready to find out that this place of worship was far from perfect. In fact, it really knew nothing about the grace of God. It's all consumed with the law of God. But in its time, in its day, God's hand has been upon all of these who have faithfully followed Judaism. They're about to be moved and transitioned, and we understand all those things. But Jesus said, as imperfect as it is, I'm going to go down here and go to church today. He didn't try to argue whether or not you're going to find Sunday school in the New Testament. He didn't try to argue about whether or not that a church ought to be gone to, or if I can do just as well at the house. It was not something that he wanted to dialogue about. He said, I understand how bad it is down there. The place is full of hypocrites, but I'm going anyway. And if you'll notice that when he got down there, God let him make a difference down there. Who knows? God could use you. Now, wherever your church is, it is far from perfect. It is very imperfect. The church where God's let me pastor now for 35 years, it's not a perfect place. They've never yet had a perfect pastor. They struggle. We struggle. We fight against the real devil. But I intend on going back. I'm planning on going back. I don't intend on letting any of them there hurt me bad enough to keep me at the house. I cannot be as good a Christian sitting at the house as I can if I'm sitting on a pew. That's another lie of the devil. So Jesus now gives us this wonderful illustration in his life that even though it's all imperfect down there, a long ways from where it needs to be, I'm going down there. Now, it would be best if we try to act more like Jesus. So he says here that Jesus went straightway on the Sabbath day. He entered into the synagogue. He taught there, and they were astonished at his doctrine. And he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. So we see the depth of the problem in this place of worship. It wasn't just on the pews. Now we all understand that we all have trouble on the pews. But it's really bad when the trouble gets in the pulpit. And today we have a lot of problem in the pulpit. Apparently these scribes had been teaching and even preaching, as they would have called it, without the authority of God upon it. They were just going through religious motions. So the entire thing's dead. All the way to the core, it's dead. Jesus goes on down there anyway. And they make this huge mistake. They've become so liberal that they ask, does anybody have a word? And so the one that should be speaking, finally speaking. And thanks be to God, the Lord Jesus Christ begins to speak doctrine like they've never heard. And when he speaks with power. Now, I plan on going to church, but I plan on finding me a church where a man preaches with power. I don't believe a man can preach with power if he doesn't preach according to the Word of God. I don't believe he can preach with power if he doesn't preach with a clean life. I believe he has to have a touch of the Holy Ghost upon him. I don't believe he can just preach and be what we need with intellect only. I'm convinced he better be divinely driven. After all these years of preaching, been preaching now since 1979, I'm more convinced today than ever before that preaching is a divine business. I preached when I had to push it all the way uphill. And I plan on doing it if I have to do that to the grave. People don't have to receive my preaching for me to do it. I plan on preaching. God called me to preach. God helps me preach. But I sure do like it when I'm on good ground. When I can be in a house full of people that understand something about preaching, not being academic. Shouldn't be something that you can spring up out of a box. Man better be called. Better have a touch of God on him if he's going to take up holy work. Now when Jesus stepped in there, immediately everybody in that synagogue said, whoa, 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 whoa. We haven't heard anything like this. Now old Reverend hadn't been doing it. He hadn't been doing so good. He's just been talking to us, chatting with us. Been giving us all of his Andy Griffith messages. And now Jesus begins to speak with power and with authority. Oh, how we need that. Must have it. This generation of youngsters that sit around in this place, they're going to be cheated if we don't still have some preachers that know how to get in touch with God. They need that. Their generation needs exactly what I needed. Somebody knows how to get in touch with God, knows how to stay straight in the book and preach. God still uses preaching. So now they're all shook up. This is not their typical Sabbath worship. And the Bible said that there's one there, and this doesn't shock me at all in this particular place. In verse number 23, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. In other words, there's a devil in the house. There's a devil in the midst. The Bible does use the word unclean spirits. The Bible never does use the word demons. I I'm very careful in studies on the devil because I think that it's one of the most dangerous studies that we can ever have. I don't want to go to seed in this area. If I'm going to go to seed anywhere in my Bible, I want it to be somewhere else. I don't want to challenge the devil too much. I don't want to think more highly of myself than I ought. Mama, that devil's real. Daddy, better safeguard those babies. The devil your Bible's teaching you about right here tonight is very real. And I want you to notice some things about him beginning here in verse number 23. Notice that this devil has an earthly habitation. The Bible says in verse number 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. With it. The word with is an interesting word here. It gives us the connotation and the thought of within. It's talking about one that is completely consumed now and eaten up from within, which gives me good, clear teaching about the habitation of devils here on the earth. Now, there is not one haunted house I'm frightened of. I don't care what time of night it is. I don't care if it's lightning in the sky and if the thunder's rolling. I do not have one fear of a haunted house. There's not a cemetery that I wouldn't walk through in the middle of the night. There's not a black cat anywhere that will cause the hair to stand up on my neck. I'm not afraid of any of that stuff. I'm going to tell you, I never find in my Bible anywhere where devils ever are housed in wooden structures, nor concrete structures, nor steel structures. I only find where devils are housed in people, humanity. So I learned something here about the devil. The devil's always looking for a place of habitation. And it's always going to be in a person. It's going to be an earthly body. Which causes me to really want to be careful concerning those that I'm around. Now I want to say to everybody in the building tonight, if you're here and you've just been kind of playing with God, if God has dealt with your heart about salvation, and you know you need to be born again, you've been giving it this attitude to kind of take it or leave it, I'm telling you that's a crack in the door. Amen. That's a crack in the door. And the devil will take full advantage of that crack in the door. And before you know it tonight, your life could be in such bad shape that you'll sit around somewhere in a dark little old house and you'll say, how in the world did I get in this kind of shape? The devil wants to rule, he wants to reign, and he wants to do it from your body. From your body. This is the Bible truth about the devil. Mothers, your babies are dear to your heart. You love them. The devil wants to consume them. He wants to be within them. You say, it would never happen to my baby. I'm telling you, any youngster that grows up and that sweet hand of mama that doctors them, cares for them, feeds them, clothes them, takes care of all their needs, then they turn around and literally slap the face of that mama. I'm telling you, there's a real devil gets in people. 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 Most dangerous thing on the planet's people. And we look in our streets, look at the rallies of people that are given over to the devil. Look at those that are anti-government, anti-God, anti-church. They're proud of it. They're more proud of it today than they've ever been. They scream and chant at how thrilled they are to be part of their sin. The devil has many habitations today in America. Now God blessed you with a body, young lady. Young man, God blessed you with a body. He's very kind. He gave you a place for your spirit to dwell in. No need for you defiling that and giving space to the devil in there. If you're born again tonight, I'm glad to announce to you that God is so wonderfully great and grand that He's not going to share residence with the devil. Now, I can be oppressed tonight, but I can never be possessed. I got saved as a raggedy teenager in the hippie generation, and I'm telling you, I know something about being a long ways from God. But when Jesus took up residence in my heart, He booted the devil out. He will not cohabitate with the devil. And He came in to stay. So I'm off limits. If you're born again, you're off limits. That's the reason I'm telling you, don't play games with God. Don't play games with God. When the preacher preaches to you, you need to be born again. Better make sure of that more than anything else in this world. You may make 1,000 wrong moves in your life. You don't want to make that one. You're going to give space to the devil. He'll be more than happy to come in, and he'll use your body as a residence. He will defile, ruin, destroy. You think, oh, I won't do what they did. I won't do what my buddies did. You'll do that and more. I'm promising you tonight, don't want to play games with God concerning salvation. If He's kind and moves on your heart, if sweet Holy Ghost lets you know you're a sinner, you get to Jesus just as quick as possible. You need to make your habitation here devil-proof. And you can't do that on your own. Only Jesus can do that. But tonight I'm devil-proof. Oh, He taunts me. He mocks me. He challenges me. He aggravates the fire out of me. But He can't live in here. God's not going to cohabitate with him. Remember, the earthly residence of the devil is the human body. And don't ever forget it. That's the reason. I don't know why I'm staying right here so long. But that's the reason that you watch the mutilation of the bodies as they give their bodies over to the devil. As he gets more and more of their life, they begin to destroy their body. He destroys even his own temple. I'm telling you, he's wretched. There's no mercy in the devil whatsoever. He destroys even his own temple. And today, they just continue to mutilate their bodies. Mutilate their own bodies. And that's all at the behest of the devil. I'm begging you tonight. If God's dealing with your heart, you know you're lost. I'm begging you tonight. That devil is, he's wanting to take advantage of your body. Maybe you have had enough Bible education. Maybe you've had enough influence of family to where you haven't given him all those rooms in your life yet. But if you keep on rejecting Jesus, you will. He'll take full advantage of you. He didn't come in to just stay in a little separate room. He wants every part of you. And before you know it, he'll take advantage of every part of you. Remember this. Satan's earthly habitation is the human body. Secondly, same verse, verse number 23. I want you to notice the boldness of devils. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Now this is interesting to me, because in this particular verse, we understand that the devil is so bold that he's coming right into the place of worship. Eyes wide open. He knows exactly where he's at. Not afraid. Some thought a while ago when I said that I don't enjoy too much of an in-depth study on the devil because I have certain fears in those areas. And I want to tell you something tonight. Better Better respect an ocean that can kill you. Better respect a devil that's as powerful as he is. If he's bold enough to stand in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, this preacher's not going to intimidate him. I won't intimidate him. I'm not going to go around challenging the devil and getting in any kind of sparring match with him. You're not going to see me wrapped up in priestly robes looking like a woman and going out and chanting over people and trying to cast devils out of them and all that stuff. I'm not heading into that battlefield. I promise you this. The devil's bold. He's bold. He's not intimidated by us meeting here to go to church. You carried a Bible in here with you tonight. I trust you did. You carried a Bible in here with you tonight. I'm telling you, he's not intimidated by you carrying a Bible. He's not intimidated by you getting on your knees and praying. He's not intimidated by me preaching tonight. Even though I'm revealing everything about him that the Bible tells me in this place right here, he's not one bit intimidated by me. I mean, he's so wicked, he's so bold, that he crawled right up in the face of Jesus. Came to church. Came to church. Bold enough to come to church. I think there's some reasons why, though, he was comfortable in this particular place of worship. Look with me again at the reading in verse 23. And there was in their synagogue. In their synagogue. Well, I tell you, Mark didn't have to put that in there, but he gives us a good clue right here what's going on in this place. It's their synagogue. About the time all of this becomes what we do, we're in trouble. The devil will have a heyday with us when we figure out how to do all of this, when we go to church because we've got it all designed. When we learned how to have church down at the university. When we've designed it to where we know how it all moves like a well-oiled machine. To where we know when everybody sings, boy, I was glad for the interruption tonight of some testimonies. I love it when God is in charge. What we do here, what we enter into here, ought to be God's work. Amen. Whatever God wants to do. I believe a preacher ought to approach preaching like this. Dear God, I don't know who's going to be there. And even if I did, I don't know what they need. But I know you do. Amen. So Lord, direct my heart, direct my mind. Place me where you want me. That's the reason I'm convinced tonight I'm preaching right on target. That's the reason I'm convinced tonight that God didn't bring me here by mistake. He doesn't do things just for the sake of doing things. Somebody here's in trouble with devils. If I didn't believe that, I'd quit preaching tonight. I'd go find me a job building houses or something, digging a ditch or something. I'm telling you, God Almighty ought to be the one that is in charge of all that goes on when we meet together. He's the only one that can orchestrate this. This is divine business. These stood up a while ago because they didn't have any other choice. They had the Cain helpets. And all they could do was talk about how that they got saved. There's not a preacher in this house could have got them saved. That took God. Took God to change a life. I'm telling you, when it becomes our synagogue, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. The Bible says their synagogue. I'm very interested in this. Seems to me that in verse number 23, that this devil that was there, this unclean spirit that was in this man, he was very comfortable till Jesus got there. He was fine. I have relatives. They go to church. They go to church. They go out with their senior saints group. They drink. They even go to Las Vegas. They gamble while they drink. And they're as religious as anybody's ever been. They just declare to me up and down they're on their way to heaven. I have no earthly idea how they got that out of the Bible. Don't know where that came from unless an unclean spirit came in, felt real comfortable somewhere. An unclean spirit came in, felt real comfortable in there, and going to feel comfortable in there until Jesus comes. When Jesus steps into a place, those unclean spirits, they get a little nervous. Get a little touchy. I watch them when I preach to them. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. Every preacher in here knows what I'm talking about. A man thinks, boy, I can hide my sin. I can act just like the rest of them. And he ought to understand that when he comes in and when the preacher starts preaching, it's almost like he has a neon sign on his forehead. I'm telling you, if Jesus ever gets in the house, they're real uncomfortable. Get real uncomfortable. I wondered about this when I was trying to study this text. I wonder what position he held in there. Wonder if he taught Sunday school. Wonder if he is a deacon. I wonder if he was the pastor. Could have been the pastor in many of churches in America today with an unclean spirit. All I know is he was very comfortable till Jesus showed up. Now they can call me old-fashioned, strange. I know what it is. I don't have it because I told them no. I've been offered the doctor's degrees. I know what it would be to puff up the flesh and say, boy, this is good. And I'm not against a doctor's degree if you've earned one. I just never did earn one. Don't even think I'd make a good orderly. But I will tell you this. I've hung around the things of God long enough to know that man is not going to be able to gin up what God can do in just a moment. And if Jesus ever steps in, if the Lord ever gets on the scene, he can do more in a few moments. And he can make 1,000 devils real uneasy as soon as he just slips in. And I know that all the education and all of the degrees and all of the polish can't do that. There's never been a devil that's in any way irritated with any of that stuff. So there's a real boldness about the devil. He'll go to church with you. He'll sit on the pew beside of you. Notice verse number 24. The unity between devils and their human residents. In verse number 24, notice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? Notice the unity. Now, between the devil himself and that human residence, if you want to give the devil a little space, and young person, listen close to this preacher tonight. If you want to give the devil a little space and you think you can handle that thing, you think it'll be all right, it's not gonna really get too big, it's not going to hurt me too bad, or anything like that, I'm telling you, his goal is different than yours. He will not stay separate from your identity. Before you know it, you are a companion with the devil. You're an us. You're a we. Now, I think every one of us in this building have enough sense to know tonight that if you're going to be a companion, if you're going to be an us or a we, it ought to be with God. Otherwise, you're in great trouble. I promise you, the devil's not going to allow us just to toy with this thing. Somewhere along the way, if you dabble in sin, somewhere along the way, he's going to draw a line in the sand. It's not going to be like Obama's buddy. I'm telling you, it's going to be for real. He's getting ready to make it us. Us. I couldn't tell you how many times that I've had people weep across from my desk and say, "Preacher, I'm just tied so tight to this sin. I'm a slave to it. It's like me and the devil think alike." I had one man sit, he said, "I can't even sit through a service and have a decent thought." He said, "The women, even in church, entice me." Now, you know the devil has a real inroad in the heart like that. I'm telling you, there's a wickedness. He wants an us. He wants it to be we. You'll not have your own identity anymore. Now, you'll spend thousands of dollars trying to safeguard your identity, but you'll give it up to the devil over some little small sin. Some little small sin. And you'll give your entire identity up. Before you know it, everybody's going to know you as a child of the devil. Because he's going to declare it's we, it's us. There was a young lady. She came up in our church. And the devil got in that home, split that home. That young lady, she had been in the church. She heard all the preaching you've heard in your church. She said under the same truth, under the same word of God. And just this past week, I had one of the members send me a little Facebook thing, because I don't get it. Send it to my phone and said, "This is so-and-so," gave me her name, said, "This is her now." And she was proud to be out of the closet. Proud to be out of the closet. And let me tell you how twisted up she was. She said, "I'm so glad not to be bound by any kind of sexual preference or identity." She said, "I know what I am today. I don't know what I'll be tomorrow, but it'll be all right." Now, if you want to lose your mind, you keep toying with the devil. Keep toying with the devil. I promise you, he wants you to be an us with him. You'll be a team with him if you hang in there. Then notice, if you will, in verse number 24, the superior knowledge of devils above human knowledge. In verse number 24, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" This poor old fellow's trying to speak now. He says, hey, I'm getting nervous inside. Let me tell you what he's having. "I'm having a little emotional breakdown. You came in here and started preaching. I'm having me an emotional breakdown. I don't really know what's wrong." The devil knows what's wrong. But he doesn't know what's wrong. Are you getting the picture? Truly a split personality. Truly two identities in one, yet coming together. Now the man is speaking, says, "Let us alone." The man is speaking, said, "What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" Then the devil, "I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." You think the devil doesn't know who my master is? I promise you he does. But let me tell you how he knows, young person. He knows because that devil has come and tried to enter in again in my life. But my master won't let him. Me being called to preach never stopped him from coming back in. But my master stands guard. Me studying my Bible doesn't stop him from coming back in. But my master just won't let him. Me praying doesn't stop the devil from coming back in. But my master told him, no. Don't you get any closer. Glory to God. I'm telling you, the devil knows who he is. He understands who he is. Many times, poor human beings, they're clueless. There's so many lost people walking around. They're just of their father, the devil, and they're absolutely clueless. When they look many times after they commit their heinous crimes and things and they tell the authorities, I don't know why I did that. I'm telling you, they're telling the truth. They really don't know. The devil inside them knows why they did it. But they don't really know. Devils have superior knowledge to us human beings. Verse number 24. The desire of every devil now comes through. In verse number 24, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Goes on and says, Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, I mean, even on his way out, the devil tells you when he tempts you to all of that out there that would feed your flesh, whether you're a young person tonight, whether you're middle-aged, or even us older folks, when the devil throws all those temptations out there in front of us, all he does is try to tantalize your flesh for that moment. But he never gives you the whole story. He never gives you the entire story. Here the Bible makes it very clear that on the way out, this devil would not, even though he is overcome by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, on his way out, he's ripping and tearing. Because that's the heart of the devil. The very intent of the devil is revealed to us right here. Don't ever think the devil's going to give you anything good. There is this thrill in sin for a season. That's on the flesh side. The devil never even intended to give you that thrill. You understand that? That's how wicked he is. On the flesh side, you have a season where that sin will be enjoyable to your flesh before it breaks down. The devil didn't even want you to have that much thrill. He wants you to have misery. He wants to tear your world. He wants to tear your relationships. He wants to tear your mind. He wants to tear your emotional well-being. And he wants to laugh at you after he does it. He's wicked. He's never constructed anything. He's always destructing. Never builds, always tears down. There's not one good thing you can find about the devil. If you want to stay in Scripture now, and God's the only one going to tell you the truth about the devil. Amen. Hollywood's not going to tell you the truth about the devil. Washington, D.C. is not going to tell you the truth about the devil. But this book will. God tells us the truth about him. I'm telling you, he's ripping and tearing. Look at your neighbors. Look at your family members. Look at our society. Ripping, tearing, destroying, devastating. Everywhere the devil has been given a lot of space, you'll see carnage on top of carnage. You'll never find anything good from it. That ought to be a lesson that every young person would just look at and say, you know, that preacher's right there. I'm telling you, that's right. Because you do not know anybody that's ever given much space to the devil that didn't live to regret it. Go with me down to the prisons. Go with me down to the prisons when I preach at the prison. Hear the stories. I worked in the prisons while I was going through Bible college. Hear the stories. They're all wrecked and ruined humanity. And every one of them were torn by the devil. Torn by the devil. He's vicious. Shows no mercy to anyone. No mercy to anyone. He'll tear your mind. One day you'll sit with some poor preacher that's trying to help you. And psychologically, you're going to be an absolute wreck and a nightmare. And you can't even have, you can't even string together enough decent thoughts to be able to know how to progress and go on. And it all started because the devil was given space. He rips, he tears, and he's never satisfied. Jesus looks at him and says, come out of that man. He knows he's doomed to come out of that man right then. He has no option. When Jesus commands you, it has to be. The devil knows that. But instead of just making his exit now and coming on out of there and kind of humbling down, he doesn't even humble down then. He rips on the way out. On the way out, he takes his hawk bill and he rips, man, as he comes out. I want you to notice in verse number 26, that real intent there is given to us that he tore him, he tore him, he tore him. Everything I've given you tonight is enough to depress every one of us. I mean, absolutely enough to depress every one of us, and should, if that's all we had. But look at verse 25. Amen. Hallelujah. In verse number 25, I want to make the announcement tonight that the only overcomer of the devil is Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Amen. Now, that means he had to come out of mute. He came out tearing, but he couldn't say anything about it. He couldn't talk back. He didn't like it, but he couldn't talk back. I want to remind you that all this happened in church. Church couldn't get that devil out of him. Church probably helped put that devil in him. Religion can't get that devil out of you. There is a hope, though. There is one. It's not the preachers, not the deacons. Not going to be your sainted mama. I'm glad if you have a good mama, a good Christian mama. That's a wonderful thing. If you had a good grandmother like I did, boy, I had a grandmother to help get me to Jesus. Thank God for that. But she couldn't cast the devil out of me. No, that devil was wallowing around in there. And you know what he was whispering to me? Granny's a nut. Granny's a nut. Granny's a nut. Granny's crazy. Granny's a nut. Granny's crazy. You know good and well, as lousy as I was by the time I got saved, as ruffian as I was, that if Granny could have kicked the devil out of me, she'd have done it. She couldn't get rid of him. Preacher couldn't get rid of him. But glory be to God. I bowed on my knees. I said, I'm a sinner. I'm of my father, the devil. Please, dear Lord, forgive me. And Jesus, come into my heart. And he slipped right in. I didn't know exactly what was going on, but he said to that devil, get up! Leave! Leave! Now, if that did not happen, you explain to me the change that happened in my world. All my buddies said, he's just had an emotional moment. That whole crowd I ran with, they said, oh, he's just on another little old kick. I'm telling you, strange as a bat. I'm 63 tomorrow and still changed. And the devil has never been able to get back in since. Explain this one to me. I didn't go to school for this. I went down with a foul mouth, came up, and God gave me a new speech.
I went down wanting to curse God, came up wanting to talk about Him, tell Him I love Him. I went down hating church, got up wanting to know when next service was. I didn't go to school for that. It just happened. Others around me loved me. My mama loved me. Thanks be to God, my adopted daddy loved me. But they couldn't get the devil out of me. But Jesus did. Jesus did. I was preaching in North Carolina, your state. I was preaching in a local church. Started revival on a Monday night. There was a woman came in. She sat down right about over in this section. I began to preach. I thought it was one of the sweetest messages. I'm honest. Now, I've preached mean, but it wasn't that night. I've preached rough, but it wasn't that night. I mean, this was like honey. And I looked over there, and she's as agitated. I mean, she tore up. And I'm thinking, now what I do? And the Holy Ghost said, do what you came here to do. You just keep preaching about Jesus. All I knew to do was obey. I just kept preaching. In a little bit, I saw her. She squirmed. I mean, it got into the squirm. I just kept trying to preach. In a little bit, she did the shift. She went all the way around like this and faced the wall. You know how people do sometimes when they get offended? She was sitting right over. She whirled around there and faced the wall. And she didn't do it quietly. She went, huh? And so I just kept trying to preach. In a little bit, she took another little turn this way. I guess because I hadn't quit preaching. And she said, huh? I don't believe that. I just kept preaching. In a moment, it got so in her, she got on her feet. She got straight up. She jumped straight up and down. She said, ha! Growled like an animal. She whirled around. She took off down that way and went out the door. On her way out the door, she said, I'm not listening to that. She went on out. I just kept preaching. I noticed the pastor's wife went out after her. Trying to see, I guess, if she could be some help. She brought me news back later that the woman cussed her in the parking lot and told her, said, if y'all going to have that kind of preaching in this place, I will never darken the door of this place again, and threw gravel all over her going out of the parking lot. Spun her car right out of the parking lot. I had no idea who that woman was. They told me that years ago she had gone to that church. She had just started coming back a little bit. I don't know how many devils got in there. She had just started coming back a little bit. You know, you can go to church and not be saved. Well, Tuesday night, I was a little, you know, I didn't carry my gun with me to the pulpit, but I was a little concerned. I'm telling you, a crazy woman's hard to handle. If you get one full of devils, woo! And so I just went on back in. Thank God it was event free. And I preached, got through the service. Wednesday night rolled around. I preached, got through the service. Thursday night rolled around. That was the closing night of the service. I preached. We had activity in the altars. Everything seemed to be all right. Got down there and the invitation was going on. And I saw that woman. She popped up out of the basement back here in that church and started heading down that aisle. Just as gun barrel straight as anybody's ever been. I said, unto the Lord, this is it. Y'all going to get news about this. Come to his funeral. She's coming down that aisle. I mean, she's at a fast gait. And when she got just as close as from me to Brother McCall, that woman fell on her knees. And she squalled out and said, I'm lost! I'm lost! I need help! We bowed there with that woman. She trusted Jesus as her Savior. And that same woman that had stomped and tromped and cussed and ranted, She got up from there, and I don't endorse this a whole lot. She wanted to hug my neck. That's better than getting shot. She turned around. She said to the church, this was the most unusual testimony I've ever heard in my life. She said to the church, she said, I came here on Monday night. Y'all know I used to come here and hadn't been coming in years and years. And said, Monday night, some of you might know it, I got upset with this preacher for what he is preaching. And I'm thinking, some of you might know it. The whole crowd knew it. And everybody in the neighborhood when you went out the parking lot. She said, on Tuesday, said, I was at the house, I was still fuming. And she said, I'd said over and over, I'll never go down there, I'll never go down there. She said, something got a hold of me. And she said, y'all didn't know it, but after service started on Tuesday, now listen, if some of these things happen because you don't have good security systems in your church. She said, after service started on Tuesday night, she said, I slipped in the parking lot out there. I went down to the lower building, part of the building, in the side door where I used to go down there when in the nursery area, and said, I knew there was an old speaker down on the wall. She said, I sat down there and I listened to that preacher. And she said, and she got red in the face. And she said, and I got mad Tuesday night too. And she said, when he started giving the invitation, I left back out that door and left. She said, Wednesday, I'd said all day long, I'm not going back down there. But she did.
Amen.
Got in that same little classroom. She said, I got mad again. And she said, tonight I did the same thing. And she said, I got mad again sitting down there tonight and said, something said to me. Said, if you get mad tonight and you run off from here tonight, I'm going to let you run straight into hell. Well, I know this, she believed it. She didn't take that door. She came up those stairs. She got in the altar. She got to Jesus. Last time I was over there preaching, she's over there raising her hand, praising God, shouting. Enjoyed it. In her right mind. I'm telling you, there's only one, only one, only one that can overcome devils. His name is Jesus. Better get to him tonight. Don't play with the devil and don't play around with this thing called salvation. Please stand through preaching.